When I was a young girl, and before I could get a summer job, I had a lot of free time after I did my chores. But after I pulled out the weeds from our very large vegetable garden and killed all of those gross, fat potato bugs, there was very little else I could do to pass the time and stay cool in the sweltering heat of the summer. As a result, I watched the soap opera every day. But what I watched on TV in those days was very mild compared to what we read in our passage in 2 Samuel today. David, the man known for being the man after God's own heart, has sinned big time. We read in our passage in 2 Samuel that David lusted after Bathsheba, the wife of one of his generals, at a time when a man who was deployed on the front lines. So David helped himself to Bathsheba, and at that time, women had little recourse when a powerful man took advantage of her. There was nothing that Bathsheba could do about it. Then she discovered that she was pregnant. And when David learned that Bathsheba was pregnant, he had to plan a cover-up. And he arranged to have one of his generals move Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, into the area where there was the greatest risk of being killed in battle. And so it is that Uriah is killed in action, in an intentional action of homicide. No one is wiser, or so it seems. But God has seen what David has done. He sends the prophet, Nathan, to confront David. Imagine that. I would not want to be the one to confront King David about his sin. Would you? Who knows how King David will respond to what is inevitably going to be bad news? Remember that this man is the man who just planned and executed a homicide. God gave Nathan a brilliant strategy with which Nathan can approach King David. And Nathan starts by telling David a story about a very rich man with a huge amount of flocks and herds, and a poor man who only had one little lamb. That was all that he owned. The lamb lived together with the man and his family. One day, when the rich man had some people come to visit him, the rich man had his servants steal the poor man's lamb to serve it to a group of friends who were visiting him, rather than serving them meat from his own flocks. David was incensed when he heard this story, saying, "That man deserves to die." And David says, "You are that man." And as a result of his sin, David has nothing but trouble with his family for the rest of his life. I love that the passage is in the scripture, because there's no whitewashing here. David is human, and David has sinned big time. Have you ever noticed how it is these days when politicians get caught lying or putting their hand in the cookie jar? It's lie, 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 deny, deny, deny. When Nathan confronts David, David does not argue with him. He owns his sin, confessing his sins to God for all that he has done. But there are consequences, both immediate and in the long term, as a result of David's sin. In the immediate aftermath, the baby who was born dies. Imagine the pain that Bathsheba and David must have felt because of David's lust, losing both her husband and her baby. And in the long term, the prophet Nathan tells David that there will be strife in all of his household amongst his neighbors. And as we see a few chapters later, three of David's sons, Amnon, Absalom, and Adonijah, fulfill this prophecy. But there is hope as well for the penitent David. For David confesses his sin. He worships God, and Bathsheba bears a son, and he was named Solomon. And this son would be wealthy beyond measure and renowned for his wisdom. As a result of David's lust, Bathsheba, who was an innocent and had done nothing, became an innocent caught in David's sin. But David did confess his sin, and God forgave him. But that does not mean there were not repercussions. In the long term, we all sin. We are all rich or poor. Our sins and failures often leave scars on us and may continue to cause pain to those around us or those who we've hurt. So how do we come back after we sin? How do we recover after we fall on our face, when we cheat or steal, or get a DUI, when I lose my temper and get angry, when I have an affair? Our instinct is to run away from God. But if you were to read past the end of our lectionary reading, you would see that David does the right thing. He runs in the right way, not away from God, but towards him, running back to God. Having had a bath and changing his clothes, King David goes to the house of the Lord, where he worships God. And God graciously blesses David with another son, Solomon, also known as Jedidiah, who was also an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Gordon Keddy says, forgiveness cancels past sin, promises future blessing, and opens the gate of heaven. God is not surprised that humans sin. He longs for us to come running back to him. He does not throw what we've done in our face. Indeed, it is the power of evil who is the one who wants to keep us away from God, who whispers the lies that God will never forgive us. When David sins, when you and I sin, God will forgive us. Amen.